Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on Nun Vav Amid Beis, seven lines off the bottom of the Amid, right at the two dots. It's what we have learned. So before we begin, we all know that there are different levels of guarding, of watching, different standards which apply to different people. Basically, if you're just a Shomer Chinam, you're watching something for free as a gesture of goodwill, as a chesed. So your requirements, your obligations are relatively less than if it were somebody who's getting paid to watch this item, who's called a Shomer Sachar, right? He's getting a fee for his service. A Shomer Sachar has to guard against even geneva, thievery, va'aveda, or from the item getting lost. He's responsible for that as well. So if it gets lost or stolen, he's responsible. Whereas a Shomer Chinam merely has to guard against carelessness and negligence. Pshia. He cannot just be pshia. But more than that, he's not responsible. If it gets lost or stolen, he's pater. So the levels of Shmira vary according to your commitment. Shomer Chinam has less of a commitment. So by him, you know, just a Shmira Pachus, a relatively minor, you know, lower standard of guarding is sufficient, whereas by a Shomer Sachar, a higher level is required. He must guard even against Gneva Aveda. Now what about if a person is a Shomer Aveda? So he found an item in the street and he's holding on to it until he finds the owner. So he's being mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah, right? But what level of Shemira is he required to do? Is he treated like a Shomer Chinam? Because after all, he's not really getting paid, at least not in this world. Or is he considered like a Shomer Sachar, who has to guard even against Gneva Aveda? We have Machlokes Amoraim, Itmar, Shomer Aveda. How do we treat him? Rabba Amar, Kishomer Chinam. He's merely a Shomer Chinam. He's not getting paid for his service. So if it gets lost or stolen, he's pata. Rav Yosef Amar, Kishomer Sachar. No. He has the Shomer Sachar standards. Kishomer Sachar dummy. So Rabba says Kishomer Chinam dummy. Rav Yosef Kishomer Sachar dummy. And the Gemara explains. Rabba Amar Kishomer Chinam dummy. Why does Rabba equate him to the Shomer Chinam? Because my hano kamati leil. What fee, what hano, what benefit is he getting from this? So he's a standard Shomer Chinam. Rav Yosef Amar Kishomer Sachar dummy. No, he's a Shomer Sachar because he's getting some fringe benefit. Although he's not getting, you know, directly paid by the owner, but he's getting something. What is he getting? Bahia no. Because of that benefit, the loyboyim le misvile riftalanya. Because since when he's involved in caring for the Aveda, he's doing a mitzvah. He's called Oisek b'mitzvah. And we know that when a person is involved with a mitzvah, he is at that moment pata from all other mitzvahs. So imagine this fellow is guarding the Aveda. And suddenly a poor man knocks on the door looking for tzedakah. So he sort of saves, so to speak, saves on that tzedakah. He need not give bread la'anya to a poor man. So that savings, because of the fact that he's watching the Aveda, that gives him a savings. So that gain is considered the schar, which makes him a shemesh sachar. Some explain it a bit differently. Why is he Shomer Sachar? Not necessarily because of that bread, but since the Torah imposed this obligation upon him. You have to watch the Aveda, you have to care for it. So it's probable that the Torah gave him, you know, a higher level of Shmira. Hilkach Hashem Asach Adami, a higher standard is required, and he has to guard even against Gneva Aveda. Ibn Yishol learns a bit differently. He says the point is that he's getting a mitzvah. So since he's been becoming a mitzvah, he's all excited, he's into it, and he's willing to commit himself to even a higher standard. Now, interestingly, there's Machlokes Rishonim. You see, the Gemara seems to say that whenever a person has an Aveda in his home, he's pata from giving tzedakah, which Tosis learns is improbable, because he says, you know, just because you're doing a mitzvah doesn't mean you can't do any other mitzvah. A person's wearing tzitzis, so that means he doesn't have to do tzedakah. Or if you have a mezuzah on your doorpost, that means you're potter from all mitzvahs. So Tosfos learns that we're speaking at a time when he's actually physically, actively involved in caring for the Aveda, airing it out, shaking it up, right? All the things you have to do to care for the Aveda and to preserve it. So when he's actually being Isaac in the mitzvah, then he's potter from other mitzvahs, and that's what the Gemara is speaking about. And but there are other Rishonim that learn that it all depends whether you can consider him to be the Isaac in the mitzvah, meaning if you're actively doing a mitzvah, even if you can actually do something else at the same time. But if you're doing a mass of mitzvah, you don't have to look for another mitzvah at the same time. Okay, so Tosfos learns it's only a ptur when you cannot feasibly do both together, whereas other Rishonim learn even if you can't theoretically do both together, but since you're doing an active masa mitzvah as opposed to a passive masa mitzvah, like just having tzitzit on your mezuzah on your doorpost, but if you're actually doing something with your hands, you're doing a masa mitzvah, then you're not mechuyev to do anything else. And that's what the Gemara means. Shomer Aveda is potter from tzedakah. Okay, so bottom line, how do we label, how do we categorize a Shomer Aveda? Rabbi says Shomer Chinam, he's not getting paid. Reisiv says Shomer Sachar, because of this savings, or because the Torah gave him a higher standard. Now, from here until basically the end of the sugya, the end of the daf, we're going to have kashas, and we're going to try to prove, you know, which way it is, one way or the other. Is it Shem Rav Eda, Shem Rechinim, or Shem Rasach? Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Yosef L'Rabba. So Rav Yosef, he's the one that says Shem Rasachar. He asked Rabba, we have a price regarding a person returning a lost item. Echziru L'Mokim Shirena. So let's say he didn't really notify, he discovered the owner, he didn't notify him, he just put it back into, you know, his house, a place where he will notice it. He no longer has to tend to it, because rest assured the owner will notice it and take it, you know, take it. Now let's say the item gets lost or stolen. So the fellow who found the Aveda is responsible. Now, what does this mean? My nignava ayavda. So, where was it stolen or lost from? Right? Lav nignava beisoy. Apparently, we're speaking that it got lost or stolen from the home of the fellow who found it, right? And what do we see? That he's responsible for gneva aveda. Now, if he was a Shomer Chinam, he wouldn't be responsible. Apparently, he's a Shomer Sachar. It's a writer of Yosef. Lo, says the Gemara. It wasn't stolen from his home. Lo mimokim sheyachziru. It was stolen at the location where he returned the item. So, of course, if it would still be in his home, he wouldn't be chayev for gneiva aveda. This is a Shomer Chinam. What happened was he returned it without informing the owner. Then it got lost or stolen. He's responsible. Well, one second, you just told me he's not. Haktani, the Brisa began by saying, Eina chayv l'tavo, but once he returns it to a place where we assume the owner will notice it, he no longer has to tend to it. And here you're saying he has to compensate him if it gets lost or stolen? How does that work? Omar Lacy said like this, Hach, my skin was speaking, can shechzir b'tzarai. You know, it depends what time of the day he put it, you know, in that place. In the morning or the afternoon. The Bryce is in effect telling you, giving you two different time frames with two different halachis. The Bryce is saying like this. So a fellow found an item, went back to the owner's, you know, home, and plopped it and put it in there without informing him. So it depends when it was, whether the owner will notice it or not. During, you know, morning hours, he's coming in and out to davening, he's there, he'll notice it. But once it hits, you know, later on, lunchtime, afternoon, he's at work. He's not going to notice it. So you have no right just putting it there without informing him. So the Brisa says like this: Yechziro shachros demokish pshirenu. So if it's morning time and he put it there, assuming the owner will notice it, ushchiach the alvanofik. It's common for him to go in and out at that time. V'chazal and notice the aveda in the chayil tavo. So the finder no longer has to attend to it. Rest assured, the owner will notice it and take charge. But it's later on in the day, and he puts it in that same place where the owner may not notice until, you know, comes home at night. It's not common for him to go in and out at that point. He won't notice it, won't necessarily notice it. At that point, if it gets lost or stolen, he's fully responsible. So again, the kasha from Rav Yosef was, the Brisa speaks about a finder putting the item in a place where he assumes the owner will find it. That's it. Done deal. Gets lost or stolen, he has to pay. What do you mean? Lost or stolen from where? From when? Oh, from the finder's home. Apparently he's a Shemir Sacha. No, got lost or stolen at the location where he returned it. What do you mean? I thought you can do that. Well, it depends when. Morning time. The Shchiach, the Eil V'Nafik, where, you know, he goes in and out. We assume he notices it, and you're pata. But later on, you're not. Eisvei, here comes another kasha. The Rav Yosef, who says Shem Sachar, asks Rabbah, who maintains Shem Rechinam. Loyal Muchayev, again, this is a Hashavas Aveda fellow. He's always responsible. He has to care for it, Ach Yechziren L'Rishusoy, until he brings the Aveda back to the Rishus, to the jurisdiction of its owner. What does Loyal mean? It's always chayev. Well, what's that coming to include? My lo'elam. Lava filum is basic. We're assuming it's alluding to something happening, a mishap occurring to the item while in the home of the finder. That proves shmamino k'shem esachar domi, the shem esachar. He's fully responsible. Amalis, the rabbi responds, you know what? You're right. In this case, you're right. Because we're speaking about an animal that he found. Mo'edina l'cho b'balei chayim. I agree fully when it comes to animals. You know, they have to be cared for more carefully. Why? The kivan to naktilu, nigra b'riyasa. Since we see naktilu that they have adopted a new track, you see they're roaming around. Apparently, they figured out how to escape from their owners, and they're sort of, you know, exhibiting an independent streak. So they have to be guarded extra well. So when it comes to just an object, a passive item, Rabbi maintains, a Shemir Aveda is merely a Shemir Chinam, lost or stolen, apat. But when it comes to an animal, you got to really care for it and make sure it's cared for properly and guarded properly, otherwise it's going to disappear. Eisvi, Rabbi Rav Yosef. Now Rabbi, who says Shemir Chinam, asked Rav Yosef. From a Braisa, which focuses on the pasuk by Hashavas Aveda, which says, Hoshev teshivim lochicha. Right, return the item to your brother. If it would only say Hashiv, I would say Ein li el bevesei. So perhaps you only mekayim, you only fulfill Hashavas Aveda if you return the item directly to the person's home. What about leginosay? Uluch ravasi minayin. Return it to his garden, to his, you know, abandoned, you know, lot, his broken down home. Basically, it's his property, but he doesn't really, you know, live there, actually. Minayin, is that considered Hashavas Aveda? Tamalemi, yeah, teshivim. We call makam. The extra expression, teshivim, includes this as well. Now, ma'il ginosay ulukhirvasay. When we say gina and churva, what exactly are they? Ilayim l'ginosay mishtameres. Ulukhirvasay mishtameres. We're speaking about these properties that are properly guarded. Hanu beisay. Then they're like his home. Why do we need a special, you know, pasuk for that? Elopshita must be Liginosa Shainim Shtameras. Ulkhurbasai Shainim Shtameras. Must be that these properties are not properly guarded. And we see that you can actually return the item to those locations. Shmamina, that proves Kishemachinam Dami, the finder is merely Shemachinam, who's only required to apply minimal Ashmira. Amrali's pervasive response. No, Loilam, certainly Liginosa means Hamishtameras, a guarded area. Regarding your question, aren't these exactly a duplicate of his home? All the chiddush is, the point is, you see, here the chiddush is, you know, in contrast to his home, where once it's there, he'll notice it. Here, he won't necessarily notice it for a while. And the point of the price is that you don't have to ensure that the owner notices that you returned it. He'll find out later. It's okay. Just as Rabbi Elazar tells us, anybody else has to inform the owner. So if you steal, if you rob, you can't just plop it back without, he has to know about it. Chutzma Shabbos Aveda. Shabbos Aveda does not require consent or notification of the owner. Sharei ribsa boitoyva, Shabbos harbe, because of this pasuk hashet eshivim, which includes all these types of methods of returning. Only a bailer of Yosef. You say shemir sachar va'achle tispro. Would you not hold the shemir aveda that a person guarding a lost item k'shemir chinam dam is merely a shemir chinam? How could you maintain that it's not a shemir chinam? Va'amar b'chir ba'aba. Amar b'yecha. We have a halacha like this. Atoyin ta'anas ganav aveda. Suppose a person found a lost item. And then when he was confronted by the owner, he says, oh, it was stolen from me. Which, of course, never happened. He's toyin ta'anas ganav. He's claiming that it was stolen. And then it turns out, it's been discovered that he actually pocketed the item. He's the ganav. What happens? Not only does he have to return the actual item, that's simple. That's obvious. But mishalom tashlumei kefil, he has to pay double because he became the ganav. Even though technically he was holding on to it rightfully because technically he just found it, right? He didn't actually steal it. So it came into his hands rightfully, but once he denied its existence and claimed that it was stolen, he's now labeled as a ganav with all its consequences. He has to pay double. Now, that's only because the ganav claim that he presented was, he was using that claim, he was seeking to use that claim to absolve himself, to potter himself. So this is sort of his penalty. He tried to sell a story as though it was stolen and exempt yourself. You have to be the ganav with all its consequences. You pay the kefil. But that only works if, in fact, this ganav claim, right, this claim that it was stolen, would theoretically make him potter. And that only applies to Hashem Rechinim, who's potter when something is stolen from him. But if you claim, you, Rav Yosef, maintain that a Shemir Aveda is regarded as a Shemir Sachar, so in any case, even when he claimed that it was stolen, he was still responsible. That's not called Toyin Tanas Ganav, who exempted himself through this claim. You're going to tell me Shemir Sachar Havi, that every Shemir Aveda is a Shemir Sachar, who's Chayiv to pay when something is stolen from his possession. Amai Mishal Tashlumei Kefil. So why in this case is he paying double when he pretended it was stolen? He wasn't gaining anything by claiming that claim. He would have paid anyways. Karna b'yishlumi has to pay the actual principal as soon as he presents that story. So there's no point of applying. You can't apply the halacha of toyin tanas ganav, which only applies when you pretended to exempt yourself. Rabbi Yosef responds, Hachma Eskin was speaking against Shetoyin Tanis Lista Mazui. This fellow, instead of just claiming that a regular robber, this was an armed robber. Armed robber is an oinus. It's an accident beyond his control, totally beyond his control. So this type of ganav, which is sort of like, you know, on the borderline between a ganav and an oinus, this claim that he was robbed at gunpoint is sufficient to exempt him, right? But it's not just a plain oinus, not just just an accident out of the blue. It was an oinus involving a robber. So here we say that we compare it to the halacha of toyin tanas ganav. If it turns out that he himself took it for himself, he pocketed, he's the ganav, he has to pay double. Amar leis, so Abai responds, what do you mean? Why would you pay double? Listim mezuyan gazlanu. Armed robber is called a gazlan. It's not a ganav. A ganav, you know, steals quietly at night. A person who, he robs you at gunpoint, he's a totally different designation. He's labeled as a gazlan. And as Rashi says, it's called an oinus. It's not called a ganav. And the halacha of the shomer aveda, the shomer chinam paying the kefil instead of the ganav, that only applies by a toyin tanas ganav when he claims that it was stolen, not gazlan. It's a totally different story. It's an oinus. Amalei Reisiv says, no, I still consider it a type of ganav. Shani Yomi, I maintain, listen, Mazuin, even an armed robber is still labeled as a ganav. You see, typically a ganav is a fellow who steals quietly. He's afraid of people. He just, you know, clandestinely goes and swipes it. That's a ganav. A ganav is somebody who steals, you know, outright, confronts his victim, steals outright. So the kasha was, listen, Mazuin is a Goslem. And there's no halacha of, you know, toyin tanas ganav in this case. So he answers like this. Amalei shani oimer listem mezuyan. He's not a goslin. Even though he's confronting its owner, he's really behaving like a goslin. But kivun de mitamer meinshi ganavu. Since he hides from people. Look, he brings his gun. He's not a overconfident person. He hides. He gets away. He runs away, and he hides. So he's called a ganav. He's closer to a ganav than a goslin, right? So a ganav is a person who does things clandestinely. He doesn't have that chutzpah like a goslin who comes outright and confronts his victim. He's coming with a weapon because otherwise, to sort of boost him. And ultimately, he's really afraid of people. And he's always in hiding. So he's closer to a ganav than a goslin. In which case, if the shomer, in this case, the shomer aveda, maintains that he was robbed by the list of mezuyin, we treat it as though he's claiming that a ganav took it away. In which case, if it turns out that he's the ganav, right? Then he has to pay the kefal. Okay? So let's just recap. The kasha was, how could a shomer aveda ever end up paying kefal? Even if he claims that it was stolen, but if a shomer aveda is a shomer sachar, he's chayev for gneva. So he's paying right away. He's not absolving himself. In which case, the halacha of toyin and tanas kind of pretending that it was stolen, that will not generate the double payment. That only applies when a person is trying to exempt himself. He's not. He's going to have to pay out, right? He's guilty. He's a shomer sachar chayiv. He's responsible for ganav. The answer is, it was a unique type of ganav. It was a list of mezuyin. So on the one hand, presenting this type of story exempts you. On the other hand, if it turns out that you stole it, you have to pay kefal because the tain of list of mezuyin is also a sort of ganav type of claim. Interesting discussion. Esve, here comes another question. Loi im amris b'shem rachinam. So Rashi says it's a brisa, but Rashi says he's not sure, you know, what it's referring to. It's sort of like starting in the middle of a discussion. No, if you'd say you can't compare it to shem rachinam, shekein mishalom tashlamei kefal. Shem rachinam has an advantage over shem asecha because, as we explained, sometimes a shomer chinam can end up paying kefal himself, i.e., when he presented this tanas ganav as though it was stolen from him, it turns out he's the one who pocketed it, he has to pay kefal. Toimer b'shem asecha, suppose the shomer asecha never has that, because he's responsible from the get-go. He can't potter himself with that taina. She'enem b'shalom tashlamei kefal, never pays double. Right? Because once again, if he claims that it was stolen from him, he's responsible. So he's never exempting himself, and there's never a point of taking him to the next level of paying double. But according to you, according to what you just told me, that there is a form of ganav that a shomer sacher can also sort of use as his claim to exempt himself. In which case, if it turns out that he's falsifying, the tables turn on him, and he's the one who has to pay the kefal. So how can you say a shomer sacher never pays kefal? This armed robber is considered a ganav, ganavu. So it turns out that even a shomer sacher can end up paying kefal. Nimtza b'shomer sacher, misham tashlamei kefal. How? B'tayin tanas list of mezuyin. If he claims that it was robbed through a list of mezuyin. Amalei, so he responded, you're right, there is some exceptional, unusual case, but typically, shomer sacher does not pay kefal. Because typically when he says stolen, he has to pay outright, right then and there, he's responsible. Amalei, the b'raisa means like this. Shem Rechim has an advantage. Ultimately, it's a broader gamut of possibilities to bring him to Kefal. Lo yim amrus b'Shem Rechim shekem yisham toshtem Kefal b'chol tano yisef. Anytime Shem Rechim claims that it was stolen from him, anytime Esganav gets him to Kefal, if it turns out that he's falsifying. Toimar b'Shem Esachar, as opposed to Shem Esachar, yeah, you found one case, but typically it doesn't work. She'enim yisham toshtem Kefal, elo, only one case, but toyin, Tanas list of mezuin, so there you go. Shem Rechim still has an advantage over Shem Esachar. Ace, here comes another kash. This price discusses a shoyel, a person who borrows an item, which pretty much makes him fully responsible for the item, no matter what happens. Vinishbar emes, so the animal collapsed, it broke, whatever, it got injured, or emes, or died. The shoyel is responsible. And the elishvur emes, so perhaps only under these circumstances. What about Gneva Vaveda Menayin? What if it's stolen or lost? Is Israel responsible? Amr's sure. Kalvo Chaymer, through a Kalvo Chaymer. Uma Shemr Sachar. Shepata by Shvur Omeso. Look, even a Shemr Sachar, who's not responsible for these types of accidents, but is still responsible for Gneva and Avedu. Chayb Gneva Avedu. Shoyal, a borrower. Shechayb Shvur Omeso. He's responsible for any Aynes. Ein Adin, doesn't it lend to reason that he's also Chayiv, Shechayiv Gnev Aveda? Vezel, Kavachem, Shein Olav Tshuva, this is a Kavachem that cannot be refuted. End of price. Now comes the question. Vizakadai Techlist Mazurin Ganav, who, according to you, Rav Yosef, who classified the armed robber as a Ganav, am I Ein Olav Tshuva? So, look, why can't I respond to this Kavachem? Let me say it like this. Ikel Mifrach, I can easily respond and sort of argue that a Shemr Sachar actually stands higher than a Shoyal. You're working with the premise that a Shoyal is the most responsible, he's the most liable, he's more responsible than a Shemr Sachar. No! Actually, Mala Shemr Sachar Shekem Mishalm Tashlem Kefal. You know, a Shemr Sachar has something a Shoyal does not. A Shoyal can never get to pay double. As soon as something happens, he pays. He pays the principal, he pays the keren. Whereas a Shem Sachar sometimes can get to pay double. He'll have double liability. How? B'toyin Tanas List of Mazoin. If he only claims this List of Mazoin Tana. Oh, it was robbed by an armed robber. Turns out he's falsifying. He stole it himself. He has to pay double. So there's an advantage. To Shem Sachar over a Shoyal. According to you, Rav Yosef. Amar Leis, Rav Yosef responds. That's not a kasha. Because this price holds that ultimately a shoyal stands higher. You see, a shoyal is always going to pay. No questions asked. What happened? Nishbar, pay. Meis, pay. Stolen, pay. Right? Whereas a Shem Sachar, he doesn't pay unless he sort of contrived the whole thing and he falsified and he made a shvua. That turns out that he's not. It's all procedure to get him to pay. Carnivale Shvua, the actual principle, the outright payment that a shoyal pays without swearing right away. Something happens, he pays. Adifa, that's greater. That denotes a greater level of responsibility. Mikvela Bishvua, that the kefal and a double payment that a Shem Esachar can theoretically potentially come to if in fact he claimed and swore false and the whole story. So you're right, there are some cases that a Shem Esachar can end up paying double, but it's unlikely and ultimately, a shoyal is chayev more in the conventional sense than a Shem Sachar. Leibim Seyele perhaps will have a riot of Yosef now that a list in Mezuin, an armed robber, is classified as a ganav. We have a brisa, soich par mechaver v'nignava. A fellow rents a para and it was stolen. V'omar halo, and the renter says, look, I'm not going to give you a hard time. I'm going to just going to pay for it. I'm not going to make a shvua to protect myself that I was negligent. Here, take the money. It turns out that the ganav was located. Who gets the kefal, which the ganav pays? Allah is mishalim tashlumi kefal as soicher. Since the soicher was a nice fellow, he offered the money outright. He sort of acquired rights to get that eventual kefal payout. That's the aloch. So instead of the owner getting the double payment, the soicher gets it. Now, Savrua, the Bnei HaYeshiva, who presented this raya, figured Rabbi Yehuda. This price that follows Rabbi Yehuda's shita, the Amur says, what level of responsibility does a soicher have? Is he compared to a shemer chinam, who's potter for gnei aveda, or shemer sachar? Which one? Soicher, because noisa sachar domi. He's equated to noisa sachar. After all, he has some gain. He uses the item, so he's responsible for gnei aveda. Umigdiktani. Now the fact that Bryson says, "I'm going to pay without giving you a hard time. I'm not going to make a shua to exempt myself, to protect myself. I'm going to pay outright." Mechlal, apparently, the boy potter l'nafshi b'shvua. Apparently, he has that option. If he wants, he can make himself potter through a shvua by swearing that, you know, in fact, it was stolen and I'm potter, right? Now, hechidami. What exactly is he claiming? What took place? Kigoyin deka toin tanas list mezuin. The only way that a shvua can make him potter is if he's going to claim that he was robbed by an armed robber, which is an oinus, for which even a seicher who is equated to Hashem Mesachar is potter. Because otherwise, if he's just claiming and swearing that he was just, you know, a regular ganav took it, then he wouldn't be potter. There's no point in making the shvua, right? So apparently he's speaking about a higher level of robbery. Uktani, what does the Brisa say? Then you locate this armed robber, he pays not just once, he pays double. Right? So he's paying double, he's paying it to the seicher. Shmamina, that proves our point. List to Mizuin, Ganavu. Right? Only a Ganav pays double. Right? That's the halacha we're working with all the time. Right? The premise is only a Ganav, a person who's classified as a Ganav, pays double. But a Gazlan doesn't. And a List to Mizuin, well, if he's a Gazlan, why would he pay double? It's arrived from here that a list of Mazuin is considered a ganav, as we explained before, because he hides from people and he pays double. List of Mazuin, ganav. Amri says the response was like this. Who says the price is going like Rabbi Yehuda? The Amar knows Seicher knows the Seicher Dami, that a Seicher is regarded like a Shem Seicher, in which case, if it would be a regular ganav, he would have to pay. Apparently, we're speaking about an armed robber, right? And that, you know, generates the whole riot. No, Dilma Rab Meir Sfirli. Maybe the Brice is found Rab Meir. The Amar Seicher regards a renter Kishem Rechinam, like Kishem Rechinam. And the Seicher can simply say, look, it was stolen, a regular Ganav. Took it from me, and I'm Potter. He refused to take that option, right? He refused to go the easy way out. He opted to pay. So because of that, he gets the privilege of getting the kefal from the ganav. So again, we're not speaking about a list of mazuin, a regular ganav. So it's not relevant to our discussion. Iboy Yisem, another option can be, could the machle Rabba Ravu, Vitani, Rabba had a different gerus than the machlekes regarding how to classify a seicher. He switched the names around. Seicher keitzed meshala. What level of obligation does a seicher have? Rabbi Yemer keshem esachar, Rabbi Yemer keshem echinam. So even if we follow Rabbi Yehuda, a seicher is like a shem echinam. And even ordinary Gneva exempts him. Doesn't have to resort to an armed robber. So as soon as he would say it's been stolen and he swears he would be potter, he opted to pay. So when we locate the regular Ganav, he pays carefully, he pays it through Seicher. That's the second answer. Rav Zera Amar, third pshat, Hachab Maiskinen was speaking, but Toyin Tanas Listem Mezuin. Let's say, let's go back to a Seicher being regarded as a Shemes Seicher. In which case, if it was regular Geneva, he wouldn't be potter. So how could he exempt himself with a shvua? He claimed that it was list of mezuyin. He claimed he was robbed at gunpoint, which is an oinus. He could, right? That was his time. That was his claim. So at that point, he could have just made a shvua and go home. But he decided to pay for it anyways. And it turns out v'nimtza listem she'enim mezuyin. Turns out that it wasn't exactly the way he presented it. It wasn't really an armed robber. It was just a regular robber. In which case, he's a regular ganav who pays his kefal. And since the seicher had already laid out the money, so he gets the schus to get the kefal, and it goes to him. So once again, we're not speaking that it was actually robbed by a list of mezuin, rather by a regular robber who pays, a regular ganav who pays kefal. Okay, Bez Hashem will leave the rest for tomorrow. Let's just recap today's daf. This is a Shah Sugya. What level of Shmir is required from a Shomer Aveda, a person guarding a lost item? Rabbi says Shemachinam. There's no gain involved. Rabbi says Shemachinam. He has some sort of residual gain. That's enough to make him a Shemachinam. Apparently, Rabbi holds it's not such a realistic benefit. How often does an Ani come and how much does he save on? So he's still considered Shemachinam. What's an Afkimina? Is he Chayfa Gneva Aveda? Rabbi says no. Rabbi says yes. We had a whole string of riots back and forth to try to prove one way or the other. All the best to you, Natzlacha Rabbah.